he has the interpretation of your dream. Okay. It came forth in our meetings this weekend. So,
oh, I forgot.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, there was, but it came forth what you saw in that dream. And
I want to read something.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is from Peter 1:8-9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Amen. Thank you. Joy unspeakable, exceeding joy. How can you put it in words sometimes what God has done in our lives down on the inside, and joy should be an outward expression, if you will, of what the Lord has done inside of us. Thank you. So just that dream will not be a mystery to you, and there's a reason that there's a little sadness because of what it represents. I understand what it means too as soon as you spoke it. And it's good, but there's, well, we just wait. It will be revealed today. You didn't see this, but Tom and I want to hold this up. You can tell them about the let's make sure we have it right side up. You can tell them about where this came from. What was the condition of...
This is, we have a couple, and Holy Spirit just said spend time with them, and he was starting sharing, and he said, his wife is right there, and I know Carol preaches when I share testimonies of my life. He just quite frankly says, last summer I was going to commit suicide. He was going to swim out to the lake and drown. Devastating for his wife. The man she loves, taking care of, wants to end it. And that was one of the purposes of the men's fellowship. That we're not alone in ministry. We're not alone. God's always there. And she starts breaking down. And the only thing you could do is what Jesus would do. I plead. He just asked her to stand up, and we just hug. Wrap my arms around both of them and say, not forsaken, not forgotten, Jesus loves you. Mm-hmm. That's it. No scripture. That touch that we crave for in our weakest moment. God, let me know you're here. And that happened.
Yeah.
And this is a... This was... I'll let you finish your aspect of
okay.
it.
These people live in Maine, and of the hundreds of people that could have received this man who just months previous, and I didn't know this part of it, who was ready to cash it in, said he and his wife, we need to get this and give it to Rick. Because they've heard testimonies of this church. People come in here hurting all the time, and we don't just talk about it. We release the power of the Holy Spirit to do something about it. This fellowship represents many times of broken lives, marriages on the rocks, people strung out on dope or alcohol or other addictions and bondages. And I'll stand in that pulpit and tell you, until there's not another breath left in me, with God all things are possible. My own life is a personal testimony. This banner represents the message today for all of us. Whatever things you're going on with your families, you know, I can't fix anything. Hello? Don't look to me to fix it, but I know the one that can, and I can get you hooked up with him and teach you how to get hooked up with him, because he's the only one. He's the answer, and it's Jesus Christ. And I can't do anything about that. But this meant so much to me because of all the people that they could have got this for and gave it. We got to find a place to hang the sucker up in here, because you know we're running out of room on the wall. Something's going to have to go to make room for this. But this is a wonderful banner, because every one of us has a testimony. Every one of you know you've been down a rough road at times in your life, and what got you through? Right here. Right here. This is it. And that's if I don't get to speak much more today, I don't care. There's been a whole bunch of speaking, but see, Marge, your dream represents the table that's set before every man, woman, and child on this planet. But somebody don't like spinach, so they push the chair back away from the table. Well, I don't like the gravy, it's got lumps. Whatever. People are so picky about their faith. They don't like this, they don't like that. And you know where that goes back to? The manna that God provided for his people. He led them out of slavery and bondage of Egypt, out of Pharaoh's hand. Opened the Red Sea, an impossible thing. The Red Sea's been opened for you. Why are you still living in slavery and bondage to old things? And people don't want what Christ has to offer. And that's the sad thing about that dream. So we have it's one of the backdrops on the projector about the table, the banqueting table, all set out, the master's table. There's healing on that table. There's deliverance on that table. There's joy on that table. There's hope on that table. There's peace on that table. Everything that you could ever possibly have need, that river of living water, the song that we sang in the beginning. It's all represented in that dream. It's all represented in that table. Everything that you could possibly ever imagine or need is on that table. And people turn it away. And that's the sad part. That's why you felt remorse in that dream. You may have woke up and you felt sad and burdened about that dream, because that's the sad truth of life. Christ offers so much, and we sell ourselves cheap. You know what? We're just like Esau. We sell our inheritance for a bowl of porridge. And there is so much more that we could have if we would simply release our faith and believe God and make a choice to receive it. We don't just want to come in here and sing about it. There is so much offered in Christ. And we get complacent sometimes, and we really need to press in and take those things that are freely given. Don't wait until hell's knocking on your doorstep trying to suck you under. Don't wait until you get sucked up in a tornado. You don't have to do that. You can be prepared to stand the storms of life, but don't neglect your spiritual walk. Don't take those things lightly. And these are not new things. See, for me, you expect to hear that. Those of you that have been here for the 26 years with us, and those of you, I'll never change the message. This is the message. I'm a firm believer that with God, all things are possible. But then Jesus topped it off, to them who believe. If you don't believe in miracles, you won't see one. If you don't believe in healing, you won't be healed. If you don't believe in deliverance, you'll stay in bondage. If you don't believe in joy, you'll have a pickle face. This is true. I knew today was going to be different. I made no plans whatsoever for this service today, because I knew that there was going to be something was going to happen today that was going to be quite a bit different than our usual. With the opening scripture and a song and then the word and all that. But this is a free-flowing church, and we want to learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit without a format, without a program, that it has to be this way, this way, this way, all in this order, or it doesn't. Oh, we didn't have church today. Well, forget it. We are the church. We didn't have church. We are the church. You're part of it. You're a living part of the body of Christ. How often have you heard me say, don't make the mistake that God is not the God of El Cheapo? He's the God of El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. People hate the fact that there might be some money in the Christian's life. If you knew how rich Abraham was, if you knew how the wealth of God has, and it's manifested through his people. But see, we've been so watered down and so milked and so stepped on and squashed down. All you poor Christians. Man, Jesus had plenty of money. He had a treasurer that was stealing money out of it all the time, but there was always enough money. The fishermen, they all had hired service. They weren't poor old broken run down fishermen and boats full of holes, and they had plenty. And if you really would grasp those truths, it will change the way you think about your lives personally. I know over the course of time, I incorporate a lot of that into teaching, but he had to focus it all in three meetings, and so we got a boom, like that. But it was really good, because it is true. These things we teach here. Why? For your sake. God is a God of abounding. You can never find where God decreases. If you can show it to me, my eyes would be really open. All I can find in the scriptures, God is a God of increase, and everything that His anointing touches, it brings increase. It causes us to abound more and more and more and more. Abound in grace. Abound in mercy. Abounding. It's always with God. It's always an increase. You become better off. Things change in your life. But if you're always taught and pounded down on that God wants you broke, busted, and disgusted, that's a bunch of hooey right out of hell. And that's right where the devil wants us, because he doesn't want us to have money. You know why? Because God said it's all His anyway, and we're supposed to give it away. That's another thing about prosperity. God doesn't prosper us so we can sit back as fat cats. No, we're called. God channels His money, His finances through us to give. And you can never outgive God. You know, you guys are getting a cramming today, I'm telling you. You know, I didn't know that we were just going to all stand up here like this, but you know, sometimes we just got to be radical. You know, we're not traditional. If you're just visiting today, oh gosh, now our secret's out. We've blown our cover. We are not traditional.
Well, and God's not mad at you.
No.
There we go.
If you are afraid to give away because you think you're not going to have enough, God says in His Word, if you give to the poor, you will never lack. You will never lack anything. I just feel real strongly that in my own personal life, I've had times when I've said, oh, well, if we give this last, whatever it is, we're not going to be able to pay this bill. We're not going to be able to pay that bill. But God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And to finish this off for me, He is El Shaddai, more than enough.
Yes.
He owns the cattle on a thousand hills.
I am honored. And I know some of you, for whatever reasons, couldn't be here or didn't attend our meeting last week after the service, but it is such an honor to serve a congregation where I can personally see the growth and the stability and the maturity. You guys rock. You're awesome. You really are, because you're willing to come week after week, and I don't think in all these years that we've been here, there's never been two services alike, and you keep coming. Because there truly is a presence of the Lord here. And we're all growing together. We're all learning together. But if we don't ever take that step to trust the Holy Spirit, how are we going to know? You know, the Spirit might say suddenly, I want you all to go here, or I want you all to go there. We're going to be ready and go. You know, we need to have that spontaneity of the Spirit. This isn't old, dried, stuffy, old stuff, you know, that we're talking about. These are real biblical truths, and God is working in your lives. And I'm so proud of these men, and I know that I don't like it when they say things like that about me, but I am proud of the men and the women in this church, because you know what? For people that just come in here, maybe brand new baby Christians, I don't know. But this is a safe place until you know where God has called you to be. This is a safe place. You're going to be loved. You're going to be cared for. When you come to those front doors, as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to see no rap sheets from somebody else's disgruntled pastors. You don't have a rap sheet. When you come here and you come through that door, you have no reputation except that what you make of your own when you get here. Otherwise, it's a guaranteed assurance you're going to be loved, you're going to be welcome. We teach it, we preach it, we practice it, and I am awesomely proud of you.
Amen.
And even if we may don't get a huggy break, we got to do some praise. I mean, this is some good stuff. Oh, man, hug Jesus. Oh, glory.
All of a sudden, I saw myself praying, you know, for the congregation. And so I think that's something we should do. And I don't think that candlestick fell by accident. You hear the candlestick fall? Anyway, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone that attends this church and this congregation right now. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for their lives. I thank you, Lord, for death on the cross, Lord, we are the head and not the tail, above and not below. And Lord, you are the beginning and the end, and you know everything. You know every person, you know every event that's going to take place, Father God. We know that you are in control. We thank you for that, Lord. Please be with us today, Father God. We know that you are. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for every person that attends this church, and every person that we are able to reach out to, each one of us.
Gone out a little.
I was starting to get comfortable and be okay with things. And that's not right, Father God. We're to continually search after you. Search after your kingdom, Father. Make your kingdom bigger. Father, by our sphere of influence, Lord. The people that we come in contact with. And it doesn't hurt to pick up your Bible and read some, Father God. We may find something in there that really speaks to us. That really comes out of the page and says, wow, epiphany, or wow, parable that we just could not understand before. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. This is every morning.
I wanted to talk about your worth to God. I want to talk about your value to Him. And I want you to remember three words. The guys at the men's camp this weekend, I had an opportunity to share these at the first morning session, but I want to bring them back to you because the Word of God is always alive, it's always present. And I know that we're a house here where it's a house of healing. It's a house of God's love. It's a house of mercy and compassion. And one of the reasons it's because that's how our Heavenly Father is to us. And we're called to be representatives of that. We carry His nature. We carry His presence with us everywhere we go. But that's not the word. That's a good word. I want to read these scriptures to you, and they come from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And Barb and I now, we've been 14 weeks in Ephesians chapter 1, and we've got down to verse 6. So, like I said at the men's meeting, this is a Reader's Digest condensed version, but I want you to listen very attentively, very carefully, for three key words. And I'm going to start with verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, this is really important for you to understand that what God has already done. This is really huge. We forget sometimes because we live in a now moment. We live in the age of smartphones and iPads and everything at the push of a button, and we want something right now. And sometimes in our haste to want something right now, we forget what God has already done. And I spent 3 weeks of that time downstairs talking about all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. But I want you to remember these words here. Who has? That means past tense. It's something that's already been done. You have been blessed by God. God's blessing, His favor is on your lives. And don't ever forget it. You might think that maybe you blew it. Maybe something happened and you, you decided to get a little bit bent out of shape with God, and you just kind of took a side road somewhere along the way. But you got to remember, He still loves you. He still cares about you. He knows the end of your life from the beginning, and He knows whether you'll come back or not. But it's important to know that He's blessed you already. According as verse 4, here's the first of, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And I want you just to think about that phrase, the fact of something that God has already done. Before there was a heaven and earth and all of God's creation, He chose you to be in Christ. Even before Adam. That's how much God cares about your life. That's how important you are to Him. Your names have been engraved in His hands. He knows you by name. He called you before you were formed in your mama's womb. Why? Because He's passionately in love with each one of us. It grieves His spirit when one perishes. But He chose you. You know, we choose our friends. We choose where we go to work. We choose what we do. We choose when we want to. We choose what to eat. We choose what not to eat. Life is about choices. But the fact of the matter is, you have so touched God because He chose you. He knew from the beginning, before anything was created, all the potential, all that you would ever be to fulfill your destiny and your purpose for life. This is huge. He chose you. You're not just nobody. I don't care what people have said about us. We've all been called nobody to somebody. But you will never be called nobody by the one who really counts. You are somebody, and you're somebody's. And that's really important. So the first word today for you is chosen. I have 4 minutes left. How are we doing? We doing okay? Okay? All right, let's look a little further. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Do you remember the last communion service we had, and just before we took the cup and I held it up, and I had a moment when I said, wow, I was looking out at you as we were holding the cup, and suddenly I realized I was looking through that cup with the juice in it that represents Christ's blood, and I couldn't see you. All I saw was the blood. Because you're blood bought, washed in the precious blood of Jesus, and all of our sins that we ever committed, do, or ever will, when the Father looks at you, He looks at you through the filter of Christ's blood, and suddenly He sees nothing but the blood. Because you stand before God holy, consecrated, justified, sanctified, all those big long religious words, but it means God says, because of the blood of my Son, I've declared you to be righteous. You meet all the standards of righteousness that I require, says the Lord. And it's not about keeping the law. It's because my Son fulfilled the law on the cross. And because you're in Him, I have chosen you. Next verse. Having predestined, that means God made a determination. In the process of that which He was about to create, He predestined us. That means there was He had a plan for our lives to be fulfilled. Predestined means He had your destiny preordained in heaven before there was anything. We don't live aimlessly. We don't live without purpose. We don't live without direction. We've been predestined by God. Yes, we may miss it at times. We may walk our own walk at times, but it doesn't change the fact that God predestined us, destinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. He predestinated us to be adopted. You know, it costs a lot of money to adopt children. It costs God a lot to adopt us. If we had no worth of value to God, why was He willing to pay such an incredibly unimaginable high price? You know, this is a good low self-esteem teaching, but you should be beyond that now, because if you've been here a couple weeks, that doesn't apply to you anymore. Because you never will hear any bad news here. You're going to hear good news. It may be old news, but it's still always good. The fact that, so now He's chosen us, He's adopted us. And you know, adoption is by choice. And something else that they didn't give me time to bring out about adoption. Did you know that, is anybody here an adopted child? Does anyone have adopted children or has had adopted children? Do you know that the adopted child has all of the inheritance as the firstborn or the natural born of any family? There is no difference. When the scriptures tell us that we're joint heirs with Christ, that means that all that the Father has in His kingdom has been made available to you. Why? Because you're adopted. You have the same access, and it says it's God's good pleasure. God's not stingy. God's not cheap. God has a high standard of worth and value on your life. You're the most precious thing that God has. So that's the second word, adopted. Now let's get down to the next verse. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has, the word has, that means something that God has already done. It's past tense. Get over it. Get a new revelation today. Get a better one. He has made us accepted in the beloved. When I see that word beloved, I don't use that word often. I use it when I talk to about others about you, that you're my beloveds. God has entrusted you to my care spiritually. And I don't ever want to abuse that, because you're just as precious to me as you are to God. He's my Father, He's your Father. But the fact is, we don't have to strive anymore to fit in. We don't have to listen to peer pressure anymore to be accepted. We don't have to do drugs anymore just because our friends do. We don't have to go out and go partying and be unruly people anymore just to gain their acceptance. We don't have to join a sorority club just to be accepted. We don't have to feel like there's no place for us anymore. God has accepted us. And beloved is such a term of endearment. You know, once in a while in a wedding, you'll hear them say, dearly beloved. Well, that's what God says to you. You're His bride, dearly beloved. Sometimes I write that in an email, beloveds, because I want to learn to appreciate and respect and honor God's people like God honors you. So if you get an email from me and I start it out, beloveds, or I end it, love unconditional, we all are going to be remembered for a lot of things. But the one thing I want to be remembered for is, to the best of my understanding, I want to love you as Christ loves you, with no conditions. And so I bring this little short message. We have 35 seconds left. I've been counting, okay? Just to sum it all up, these three words today. You've been chosen, you've been adopted, and you've been accepted by the one that really counts. In Jesus' name. Amen. And those of you that didn't receive the needs to your prayer when Tyler prayed, you could have. Maybe you didn't realize that, but I know some people here that, Tyler, why don't you come up with me? I'm going to ask Tyler to come up with me and pray with you too with me, because I can see he came back a changed man if you hadn't noticed. And this is a church that gives people opportunities. You all know that. And if you have needs, don't go home without that extra blessing and favor of God. And now that we stand with you as a body to believe God for miracles. We believe God for marriages. We believe God for finances. We believe God for healing. All those things. And this is not a place to go home without those issues being addressed, if you'd like to. We never force anybody to come to pray, but we sure are willing.